Blog Talk Radio.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
And
it is also my thank you. It is also my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to have with us once again, but I think this is their first visit to Conscious Black Nation on Monday night, our beloved brother known for his magnificent counseling of couples and, of course, the marriage retreat, Brother Marcus Peace Muhammad and his queen, Sister Cecilia Muhammad. So, assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear sister.
Oh, praises to Allah. Where is the queen?
She's right here. She's right here. She's just.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear sister. How are you?
She's fine. She stepped out for just a moment. She'll be right back in a second.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay, well, Brother Marcus, you know, I titled this particular show, A Perfect Union. And, of course, we want to talk about marriage and how to make it a perfect union. You know, none of us are perfect in person, but we all have someone that is perfect for us, and we are all perfect for somebody. We might not be perfect for everybody, but we're definitely perfect for somebody. And so the first thing I want to talk about, and particularly, you know, the Nation of Islam is known for having certain cliches. And when I say cliches, there are things that we should always constantly strive to put into practice, like I want for my brother what I want for myself. And one of the other things that, unfortunately, it appears as though it has become a cliche, but it's actually something that we should carry into practice, and that is marriage is one half of our faith. And so that should not be something that we say, but it should be something that we understand. So I'm going to ask you, through the minister, Marcus Muhammad, when the Quran teaches us and when the messenger and the minister teaches us that marriage is one half of our faith, what does that mean?
Well, all praise is due to Allah, sister. I just first want to say all praise is due to Allah for you allowing us to come on your show. We are very honored to be here, and we give praise and thanks to Allah God for the blessing of guiding us safely through this day, guiding you and your listening audience safely through this day, and allowing us to be here. And we're just really pleased that Allah is God all by himself, and Muhammad is his messenger. And we thank them for shining the light to us through the Honorable Minister, who is Farrakhan, to give us more guidance from the Eternal Leader of the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, now promoting very strongly among our people the economic blueprint of Muhammad. And I think we should be very honored to be alive in this day and time to witness what we are witnessing and seeing what we're going to see in the world. And as I think of your question about half of your faith, you know, it makes me to think of this marriage process that Almighty God have instituted for man and woman to go through. And I remember the Honorable Louis Farrakhan saying that if we would turn away from a marriage, which is one half of the journey to that great meeting with Almighty God, that if we would turn away from that marriage, then most likely we would turn away from that journey toward God. Because like the journey toward God, marriage is beset with difficulty. And if you can't handle the difficulties that attend marriage, then most likely you won't be able to handle the difficulties that attend that meeting with God. And I think that a lot of times we forget about that, that if we can't keep our word to each other, most likely we won't keep our word to God, because God is sitting up in your husband. God is sitting up in your wife, and the trials and the tribulations and difficulties and all that you're going to go through with this person is very similar to what God takes you through. He allows you to go through these things to show you what being with him is like, and being a man trying to unite that masculine nature with the feminine nature is not an easy thing at all. And I mean, of course, it's easy if all you're trying to do is be together sexually. You know, as Luther Vandross, the late, great Luther Vandross, sing that song, "Let Me Hold You Tight, If Only for One Night." You know, no lifelong commitment, no lifelong a struggle with you. I just need you for a night. You know, when the light hits my window pane, then I'm out. I'm leaving. And, of course, Usher, he sang a song talking about making love in the club. So his... You know, being with the younger generation that's coming behind the Luther Vandross generation, they're not even trying to go home with you. They don't even want to be in a bed with you. They want to do it right there in the club. You don't even got to go home with them.
This is too funny.
No, this is real. This is real talk now, you know. And so you know, when we start talking about half of your faith, we're talking about the journey toward God, and that journey being a very difficult journey, a journey that many people don't have the stamina to endure. Most people do not have good endurance in 2013, you know, and endurance is so necessary if we want to be of those who make it to the end, you know. And I tell you, Sister Gidget, as I think about that, that word endurance is a very powerful, powerful word for us in this day and time, because we have to learn to endure to the very end. And a lot of times we just don't know what it's going to take to make it in this day and time. You know, we think we know. We think we know in a marriage that we think we're ready to endure, but, you know, if you don't bring the right attitude into a marriage, you're not going to make it in 2013. This is not your father's Oldsmobile. If you have an old, archaic attitude, if you have the mentality that it's got to be my way or the highway, you're not going to be successful with a man or a woman. You have to have the mentality of endurance. You have to be able to endure pain. You have to endure heartache. You have to endure your trials and your tribulations. You know, you have to realize that trouble don't last always, that tough times, they come, you know, but tough times don't last. Tough people do. So we have to realize that every night ends with a day, and if you are not seeing light in your life, it is not because there is none, but rather because you refuse to go where that light can be found beyond your darkest moments. And a lot of times when we're going through dark moments, Sister Gidget, we don't want to pick up the Quran. We don't want to pick up the Bible. We don't want any light to come into our life. In fact, we love the darkness. Some of our houses are painted blue, dark blue. We go into some of our houses, even as Muslims, it's like going into a bat cave, you know, and there's just no light there. There's, you know, there's just darkness, perpetual darkness. The Bible says that gross darkness encompasses the people.
Mm-hmm.
All praise due to Allah, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Yes, sir.
And you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel if you turn away, you turn around halfway. You got to go to the end where the light can be seen. And all praise is due to Allah. We're learning how to walk by faith and not by sight in 2013, following the Honorable Louis Farrakhan and his servants that he has put before us as light to guide us to that which he is encouraging us to come to.
Yes, sir, Brother Marcus. Absolutely. Absolutely. And before I go on to the next question, is something Sister Cecilia would like to say?
Sister Cecilia?
For your questions, Sister Gidget, the Assalamu Alaikum family. We have to understand that marriage is also one half of our faith, because just like Brother Marcus mentioned, you have both male and female, and both of those natures came from the author of all things, the creator of all life, from Almighty God. And once, when the minister tells us that, brothers, you know, you have to look at your wife as a gift. You have to see what Allah has put in her for you, because when you study your wife, you're studying that second self that Allah brought out of himself for the man. But if we are stagnant, if we are stuck in our own egos, in our own immaturities, you cannot receive the full blessings of what Allah has put in the male and the female for each other. And so the trials and the tribulations come because, like the minister said to us, he said, how do you know you are a good captain of a ship? Any captain can sail on calm waters, but when the waters get rough, can you still be a good captain and sail on those rough waters? those tornadoes, those hurricanes, all of that is going to come in your relationship. That's why he's saying, and as we look at Savior's Day 2014, the title, How Strong Is Your Foundation? Can You Survive? The minister has given us the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. He's given us the foundation to weather the storms of our marriages. But if we don't apply what he has given us, that's where the problem comes in. And if our sisters remember, the minister says something very key to the sisters that resonate in my mind almost every couple of days in a month, where he says, sisters, you have become Europeanized. Why did he say that to us? Because we're taking on the mentality of impatience. I'm not going to be long-suffering, because we live in a world of instant. Everything is instant, instant, instant coffee, instant this, instant that. So when you are used to instant everything, you're not patient anymore. And I hear sisters say all the time, oh, I'm not dealing with that in no man. Oh, I ain't putting up with that in no man. Well, sister, if you won't put up with it, guess what? He'll find the sister who will put up with it and make him the giant that Allah already put in him. He just need that strong wife to be beside him to help bring it out of him. And I tell sisters all the time, don't you think Coretta Scott King, Mother Khadijah, all these great men, when you listen to their wives, when they open up and tell you just a little bit of the struggle with that man, then you say, oh, wow, you know, she really struggled. She really dealt with some stuff to help this man be who he is. So as sisters, we have to understand, we have to grow to be long-suffering and to let that man become a man of God. And that is a process, and that's why we got to study for ourselves, because if we as women don't grow closer to God for ourselves and build that relationship with Almighty God Allah, then you won't be long-suffering. You won't be strong enough to stand with this man, because you will be sucked into a world that doesn't want you to be successful in the first place.
Sister?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute. I didn't want you to hear my background noise. But absolutely, Sister Celia, because, you know, sacrifice is really the name of the game. And if you don't have the patience to take the time to understand what you're going through, then certainly you're not going to have the patience to make the necessary sacrifices to make your marriage work. And I know I'm going to get ready to make some people mad at me, but, you know, I'm used to that. I ain't worried about that. But, you know, Brother Marcus and Sister Celia, we often talk about being evenly yoked. And a lot of people, you know, they try to dance around that issue. But a lot of them fail to realize or to reflect back on the decisions that they made that might have caused their marriage to fail. And one of the things is not being evenly yoked. And we as Muslims, we are taught the believing woman for the believing man, because that particular woman was designed and trained up for that particular man. And so we oftentimes marry outside of our faith, and then there are some detrimental consequences to that. I would like for you and Brother Marcus, if you would, to speak to that, because a lot of that is the cause of the failure of our marriages. You know, we get so desperate to get married. We feel like we're getting old. The biological clock is ticking. He looks good. He know how to hang a suit. No, he don't go to the mosque. Yeah, he smoke a little weed, but when I get with him, I can change him. So talk to us about being evenly yoked, Brother Marcus.
Well, sister, as when you say even, that's one of the main things. Because, like, we have Brother Robert on our show, our Southwest Regional Minister, and that was one of his things where he mentioned that his wife was a Christian, and he took that to the minister. And the minister said to him, brother, if she's a good Christian, then she's a good Muslim. And if you're a good Muslim, you're a good Christian. So when we have different religious beliefs in a relationship, if we focus on the good of each one, if you believe in the Bible or I believe in the Quran, if we follow what we believe, then we are, there is no difference between us unless we make it a difference. But the other part that you mentioned that is a key point is for a sister. You are a MGT. You are a woman who is a God-fearing woman. And I tell this to sisters, especially our single sisters, all the time. And I was in a doctor's office one day talking to a sister, and she just started talking to me about male-female relationships. And she was saying to me that she is a Christian woman, and she was having difficulty in her relationship. And as I'm listening to her, I'm like, well, if you're striving to be a righteous woman, no matter what you call yourself, Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever we call ourselves and strive to practice, then why are you setting yourself up to go and be with a man who, like you said, he smokes weed, he eats pork. Everything that you don't do, he likes to go clubbing. Every now and then, he wants to bring the fellas over. Your house full of smoking, liquor, and all this type of stuff. And that there, to me, is the most unevenly yoked when you don't practice certain things and you hook yourself or attach yourself or fall in love with a person who is totally opposite of your belief and your lifestyle. And to me, that is a big issue and a big problem. And that's why the minister has always said to the sisters that it is, sisters, strive to get an FOI, because the man that you marry can pull you out of the mosque, but a brother can bring his wife into the mosque because of the natures of the two. It's easier for the woman to follow the man than for the man to follow the woman. That's nature. The minister told us that straight up. He will pull you out, sister. You're not going to change this man. He's going to change you. So to protect ourselves, we have to listen and obey who we say we love the minister, then obey what he's telling us, which is become evenly yoked with that man who's doing exactly what you do, what you believe in. That is our safety net. That is our fence, our protection to guide all of the investment that Almighty God has made in us through our MGT classes and the training that we have received.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And do we have a comment from Brother Marcus on that?
Well, I was listening to what my wife was sharing, and, you know, I hear this phrase a great deal about being evenly yoked or equally yoked. And, you know, the Bible in the book of Second Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 14 says to be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. But it doesn't say necessarily a marriage or relationships. You know, it doesn't say marriage, but its implication is that of any relationship with another person. I mean, we're working with people who don't who are not Muslim. You know, our relationship with anybody can be unequally yoked, and I'm saying that to say that if you already are with people who you are not evenly yoked with, in terms of, you know, when we talk about unequally yoked, we're talking about somebody who grew up in a different upbringing than you did. You grew up in the North, they grew up in the South. That's immediately a different upbringing than you grew up with. Maybe they grew up gangbanging in the West Coast. You know, and now here you are, you trying to marry somebody from Chicago or somebody from another state, you know, a farm country, you know, somebody who grew up with different values, different value system, different decision-making process, different beliefs, different finances, how they handle money, grew up with a different educational background. You could be with a brother who actually, he has a master's degree. You may not have no degree as a sister, but are you unequally yoked? Because we have to keep in mind that the scripture is saying to us to be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. See, and so when you look at it in that context, then that helps you to see that this is not necessarily talking about righteousness and the practice of good. And, you know, if, like Sister Cecilia said, if you are a good Christian, well, what does that stop me from being a good Muslim? If I'm striving to be a good Muslim, then the values that I believe as a Muslim will agree with the values that you believe as a Christian. And we should be able to walk together. We don't have to all see it the same way. We, you know, Brother Darrell Muhammad out of Macon, Georgia, came to Atlanta, and he made a brilliant reminder to us that 5 plus 2 equals 7. 7 times 0 equals 7. I think that's right. 7 times 0 equals 7, right? Okay. Then he said, no, 7 times 0 equals 0. Okay, it does equal 0. What am I saying? You know, I ain't done math in a minute, but that is true. 7 times 0 equals 7, but 7 times 1 equals 7. Anyway, you understand the point. He was trying to say all of the different ways you can get 7. And you can walk with another human being, another member of a different gender, and you can come up with the right answers. The important thing is that are you living something? And are they living something? You know, now, of course, in the Nation of Islam, we are not for everybody. The FOI that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is producing for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad are something special. They ain't for everybody. Every woman doesn't deserve to have an FOI because every woman doesn't know how to treat an FOI. And vice versa with the MGT. The MGT, if Master Farah Muhammad, our God and Savior, said that he can sit on top of a mountain and say that the most beautiful nation is in the wilderness of North America, but do not let me catch you wearing other than self, you have to think how high in the God's mind is he taking you, that of all the women of the earth, that he could sit on top of the mountain and say that you, the black woman, you and I, the black man and woman, we are a part of that beautiful nation, the most beautiful nation. But it comes with civilization. It comes with knowledge. It comes with wisdom. It comes with understanding. It comes with a lack of you and I desiring the savage life and the bestial lifestyle of our open enemy. We have to become civilized. We have to reject Satan in all of his ways. We have to reject being a savage, and we have to reject that lifestyle that's really a death style that many of us are perfectly willing to skip back and forth into, doing the hokey pokey with our Islam. So, you know, that's just something to think about as we look at this unequally yoke. You could be with somebody in the mosque, and you both could believe the same way, but yet you could still be unequally yoked because your spirit ain't the same. Your desires are not the same, you know, and it's all an alignment process. And I have to say this because, you know, if you think because somebody believes it the way you believe it, and, you know, I have so many brothers who have said, well, she believes in Master Farah Muhammad, I believe in Master Farah Muhammad, we ought to be able to make it. Wrong. That's not enough in 2013. There's an alignment process that you got to go through with a man, with a woman. You get married, you get the best of this person. They showing you the best of themselves in that courtship phase. But by and by, you get into the marriage, and for the first 3 years, there's really an unmasking of this person, this brother, this sister that you have decided to hitch yourself to. And there's an alignment process all throughout those 3 years, 3 to 5 years. You don't know somebody because they was good on the honeymoon, in the honeymoon bed. They really put it down. You don't know that brother. You don't know that sister. So what? If that's all they got for you, then they ain't got much. One brother was telling me one day how he put it down on his honeymoon night. I said, but what did you do for the other 23 hours of your day? You know, because it's got to be a lot more to being in a marriage than what you did in a bedroom. I mean, you know, that you caught up with that one. Oh, praise to God.
Oh, wow.
But you understand what I'm saying? You know, I mean, we make so much of it like if this is the end all, be all, like oh my God, that, oh, never been touched, and they sing all these songs on the radio, and they build you up, and this one's singing about the climax, and this one's just, they singing all these songs, and at the end of the day, it's just sex, you know?
Right.
But there's much more to being married than just a physical sexual relationship, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. A man just can't make you happy in the bed. He's got to be able to make you happy in the head. You know?
That's right.
You married a stud. You married a man who know what he's doing. He know his way around the bedroom, but do we know his way around your head? Do we know how to talk to you, have intelligent conversation with you? How to stimulate your mind. You understand what I'm saying? You know, there's so much more to being married. Now, I was the same way. I thought when I first got married, I thought it was all about that bedroom. Boy, you know, that's what I thought. Girl, stop playing, you know. That's what I thought.
Yes,
sir. See your man laughing. You okay, honey?
Okay.
She talking. But I'm just saying. You know, we
yes,
talking
sir.
Real talk. This is a grown-up show, right? This is not the kids' show, the children's show. No. But
hey,
you understand.
You know how I like it, raw and uncut. So, yes,
okay,
sir.
Well, I'm just trying to be honest and say we've built it up and built it up, you know, but we're sorely disappointing in the other areas. And one thing I've learned about Cecilia is she enjoys some conversation. She loves to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves to communicate, as all women do. I don't have never met a woman that wasn't a communicator, you know. And if you're a type of brother, if you're the type of man that don't want to talk, you just want to grunt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The wife asks you, how was dinner? And you go, it's good, you know. No sentences, can't put sentences together. You know, don't want to put those sentences together. I mean, then we in trouble. You know, we in big trouble with a woman because you all will start beating us with your mouth because you mad that we're not communicating, we're not talking, we're not expressing nothing. We keep it all locked into our chest. We keep our cards to our chest. You know, we don't talk like we could talk. And so, you know, I just want, you know, brothers and sisters, to understand that this unequally yoked thing is not, it doesn't have to be a big deal, but we make it such because, you know, we just don't understand what we're up against and what that being. I'd rather focus on the positive side of it. I'd rather focus on moving toward being yoked together, you know, and I feel blessed that me and Cecilia and I are in this work together. You know, I don't know if this would be as blissful and as joyful as it is if we were not doing no kind of work of resurrecting our people, you know. And I love to see the FOI with the MGT. I love the MGT for the FOI. I don't like seeing no other person with no MGT, you know. Now, that's just me. And I think I reflect our father, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, his sentiment. He liked to see the sisters for and with the brothers, you know, and not with some brother that's out there in the street. But now if we've degenerated as brothers to the point where it's really indistinguishable to tell an FOI from the street brother, if we've become so like that, see, then we have to get back to the training room because Muhammad makes men. Muhammad's teaching is to make a man that is so unlike what you see out in the street that you, as a woman, you don't want nothing but the best. And the fruit is the best. You know, we're not the worst. We're not niggas. We're not niggas with bow ties on. We are the best. The fruit is the best. That's what I was called to when I accepted to be a member of this military unit of men. But you got to keep constantly conditioning and training yourself, brother. You know, you can't be a fruit and you don't train yourself. You know, you can't be this type of brother who's so doggone, your ego is out of control. Your wife meets your ego before she meets you. And you can't crush that down to the earth and think that you're going to expect some good crops to come from her when all you giving her is hell and ignorance and bravado. She can't live off that either. So there is a definite need for training of men, and we need men who have sense in front of the men training the men. You know, men who know how to save lives and win battles and not going to get you all gung-ho and macho and, you know, ready for the fight, but, you know, don't really prepare you for that inner fight, that inward struggle, your personal jihad that you got to go into battle with yourself on a daily basis.
Right.
That's okay. What, you know, I wanted to share on that, sister.
Yes, sir. And, you know, one of the sciences, is, of course, that we were not taught by our slave masters is the science of mating. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you have to mate from the neck up instead of the neck down. And, you know, we kind of get caught up in physicality. We get caught up in the idea of something, but we just really, really are very reluctant to go through that struggle, even though we are taught that struggle is ordained. And we have unrealistic expectations. And a lot of times we have failed in our marriages before we even get married because we are failing to look at the individual for who they are. And we got an idea of a person. You know, we believe that he is this or I can make him into that. And then at the end of the day, you know, 6 months later, you know, we're in divorce court. And so it is very critical and crucial that we learn how to master our patience and join one another's patience, so to speak, in order to be successful in our marriages. Okay, we're going to move on because I know about in the second hour, Brother Marcus, I want you to speak on the marriage retreat. But I also wanted to give some spiritual food to some of our young couples, our couples who are potentially going into courtship or those who are actively in courtship, to kind of give them some tools to work with. And one of the things I often hear in marriages, whether they're inside or outside of the nation, is that, you know, we forget that we're married, Brother Marcus. You know, we forget, Sister Cecilia, that, you know, this is my husband, my life partner. This is the man that I love. We start taking him for granted. You know, we stop being, you know, we even stop dressing or stop keeping up ourselves or, you know, we just stop doing the little special things. It ain't nothing but a love note or a simple card saying I love you. And before you know it, you know, you've really grown apart instead of growing together. So, Brother Marcus, speak quickly, and Sister Cecilia, speak quickly on keeping that flame burning, you know, and not taking one another for granted.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, that's the key thing, is to keep reminding yourself that you have a spouse that you don't want to take for granted. When you started in courtship, you went on dates, you did things together, you made time for each other. That's the same thing you have to do to continue the courtship when you're married together. Have date night, you know, have your weekend excursion once a month or however your finances can afforded to do things that let you get away from everybody. I think that's why one of the main reasons why couples love the marriage retreats because they get off from work. There's no children. There's no one there but the husband and the wife. And we have to continue to do that on a regular basis. If all you do is come home and you work and you clean and you're cooking and the children and I got this project at work, you've got to make time for your time together as husband and wife. There's nothing wrong with surprising your wife with date night. There's nothing wrong with surprising him with a night of massage and a hot oil rub down. And all. I mean, these are the things that you have to do to keep it fresh, to keep it spicy, because, again, the children are going to grow up eventually. And, see, you said a key word, Sister Gidget, that I tell sisters all the time, especially when they're in the beginning stages of courtship, that you have to put it in your mind, that term, a lifelong partner. If you put that term in your mind, then when you're in courtship now, you're not saying, well, I'll just settle for right now, and if it don't work out, I have an A, B, C, D plan. No, no, no. If you start off with lifelong partner, then the questions you're going to ask, the investigation that you're going to go under, because, again, you're trying to find out about this person who you want to marry. So when you say lifelong partner, then that gives your mind a whole nother mindset. And for a lot of us, if we're honest with each other, that's not how most people go into a courtship at all.
Right.
Marcus?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, that's such a beautiful question about keeping the fire burning, you know, and we can't do it unless we keep Allah at the center. You know, Allah is creative. You know, when you call on the God, he can spark creativity in your mind. That's, you know, one of the things that we have lost is our creative ability to approach challenges and problems and situations that are natural to marriage and natural to our lives, you know, because we don't pray anymore. And if you're not in contact with the maker, the owner, the cream of the earth is God. If you're not in contact with him and praying and seeking refuge and protection in him and asking him to inspire in you vision for how you can keep the marriage in fresh and new. You know, I heard the Honorable Louis Farrakhan say that in every age, God is ageless. He's on time. He's always, you know, right down to the modern science of time, because God reads, God studies, God is involved, God knows, he hears, he sees, he's alive, he's always a witness of everything that's going on, because he's the God, he's the controller of it all. And those of us who are called by his name, we have to take more responsibility for our life and for the life force that's inside of us. We have to be willing to accept more and more responsibility, because if you ever want to become a God in this lifetime, you'll never be a God with the little bit that we're doing. The little bit of responsibility that you and I carry, we'll never see what being a God is all about. But you see, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is a man that accepts responsibility. And the more responsibility he accepts and takes on, the more of the God he is depending on, the external God, to help him to manage it all. And see, I'm making these points because, you know, you can't keep the fire burning in a woman if you ain't doing nothing. It's more than a damn rose. It's more than buying her some flowers or some candy. You can keep a woman so desirous of you as a man when you are active and busy and doing something. You don't need a rose. Your presence is the rose when you come home from doing work. I'm talking about real productive work, not shooting the breeze with the fellas and kicking it with the boys. but doing something that bears witness that you've received the mighty teaching, that as a man you want to do something and bear witness to the fact that you are alive in 2013. We have to spend more time bearing, how can I show the world that I'm here? And this is what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, when he was going around talking to men, this is what he was trying to get us to see, that the real pleasure of life is not going to be found in no woman. I mean, it's not going to happen. God did not make a woman to be the end-all, be-all for a man. Even the pleasure that you get from being with her physically is the sign of what you're going to get with God when you are able to envision and bring out of your head and your mind and your heart what he has allowed you to see. When we are able to tap into that, that is going to keep the passion alive inside of you to bring forth the God that's in you. You don't have to worry about doing the stuff that these folks recommend. This is for man. A woman want to comfort a God. Comforting me, a man, is nothing for a woman. She know how to toot that thing up. She know how to twerk it. She know how to, you done seen enough twerk videos to see that our sisters, they know how to twerk that behind around and do all kind of things with that booty. If that's all it's about, then doggone it, I'm ready to leave tonight. But there's got to be more to a woman. There's got to be more to our existence than just having a lot of sex and romance. What are we doing at the end of the day when we wake up from the good feeling that we got in that bed last night or this morning or whenever you was busy, getting busy? What then? What did we leave? If we leave the earth today or tomorrow, who else can benefit from that good sexual experience? We didn't leave nothing, and we're dying, and we're leaving nothing for the next generation. So we, got to think on the bigger plane, the higher level, the elevated places where God lives and rules, and it's all up in that big, beautiful black head of the black man. And sister, you got to encourage him. You got to go within yourself, my husband, my lover. You got to go within yourself and pull this kingdom up out of you. It's there, but you got to help him bring it out of himself, sister, so he can really experience what real lasting pleasure is. When he can build an institution that when he closes his eyes to this wicked, no good, damnable world that we live on at this time in history, for the last time, we can smile as we leave away from here, knowing that we put something here that will be here long after we're gone.
All right, Brother Mark. Okay, you're teaching hard now. All right.
All praises to Allah.
Yes, sir. All right. Okay. Well, we talked about that, but I want to move on for the top of the hour. We need to talk about variations because I think a lot of people get a lot of things twisted, and it just really speaks to how unsuccessful the courtship is and how the lack of understanding of what we're supposed to be doing in a courtship and as we move on to a relationship. There are variations in our marriages. I am not going to be the same woman you married 10 years ago. Inshallah, I have grown and developed and to be more valuable and just have greater substance and more knowledge and wisdom and understanding than I did when I married you 10 years ago. And through that process of growing, it's like when a plant is coming up from the earth and it's breaking through the soil, I might go through some changes. I might make some mistakes. But does that mean that I've changed? And if I have changed, am I changing for the better? And if I'm not, are you encouraging me or are you leaving me, walking out the door, cheating on me, telling me my wife is not, you telling your girlfriend that my wife doesn't sleep with me, she doesn't do this for me, she doesn't do that for me, so therefore I'm going to come over here and be with you because I know you're a better woman. But, you know, we're not understanding the changes that we all go through, men and women. And so when those changes occur, Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia, how do we successfully handle those variations of growth and development that we all must go through?
Sister Gidget, it starts with, the key thing is communication. And if we are not talking, if we are not having that quality time together, then you don't know what your spouse is going through. You don't know when they're changing. You just see behaviors turning different, but you don't really understand their changes. And Brother Tony, our
Western
Regional Minister, was on our show, and he said you would be a fool to want your spouse to be the same that they were when you first got married. He said every 7 years, everything in our body changes every seven years. Your nails, your atoms, everything is changing. So for you to be, if we are really striving to grow into a godlike state on the level where we are to take ourselves to the next level, then you expect your spouse to change, to mature into their understanding, because what they understood at 25, their understanding should have grown at 35, at 45. So you expect your spouse to change. Who wants to, a lot didn't make the seasons, it's going to be summer for 365 days. Oh, it's going to be winter for 365 days. Oh, it's going to be spring for 365 days. It is different seasons because everything must change. Nothing stays the same. That song is so true. And the more you grow in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, our maturity level has to deepen. Our understanding has to deepen. Brother, sister, you can't handle your husband the same way you used to. Brother, you can't handle your wife the same way. Then we have chemical changes. Brothers go through menopause just like women. It's just, I call it man on pause. But he's going through life changes, especially when we're taught that a man reaches spiritual maturity at the age of 40. So your husband has a period where he's going to be changing. His way of dealing with stuff is going to change. He used to go off on you when you used to do crazy stuff. Now he just stand there and look at you and let you go off. And he looking at you like, okay, are you finished now with your temper tantrum? Everything has to change. And so we have to prepare ourselves to be available to be understanding with our spouses and communicate so that when and that's what causes a lot of divorces a lot of times, is that when changes occur in our life, because of non-communication, we haven't communicated well, it's always an argument, it's always a blow-up, so we say very little to each other. So the wife is growing this way, the husband is growing that way, and there's no mutual connection. And so that's what we have to be careful of, is the brother, sit there and listen to your wife. Listen to her ideas. Pass your thoughts, your dreams, your visions to her. That's why Allah gave her to you, to help grow your ideas, to help grow your plans, because that is his second self. You have to respect the growth in her mind. You have to respect the God in her, because that same God is in you on the male side. So these are the things that when you shut down your woman and she no longer talks, she no longer wanting to share, she's sharing it with somebody else. You don't want your spouse to share their intimate self with anybody else. You want them to share that with you. We have to open up the line of communication where we can communicate on a mature level without arguing, without fighting, without getting upset, because that's what is one of the main problems that with almost every marriage retreat by Lies Grace so far, the number one issue is the communication. I don't want to upset her. I don't want to upset him. How do we work around this communication? How do we deal with the issue without getting emotional and ranting and raving? It's about the growth of growing maturely, and that is what's going to help us survive when we go through the various changes in our marriages.
Yes, ma'am, and we have to stop acting like we're stockpiling food. Because a lot of times we let a lot of stuff go that irritate us, that we're dissatisfied with, and then we want to wait until it gets to a boiling point and explode, and either him or her, no one even understands why is it going to this level. And they quickly say, well, you're blowing it out of proportion. No, you just failed to communicate for a long period of time. Now you fed up. Now you done went off, and, you know, you've broken the rule of communication. So that's absolutely the truth. Oh, excuse me. I don't want to sneeze on the air. Okay, so, Brother Marcus?
Yes, ma'am.
You have
all praise
about that?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, this is just beautiful, you know, giving guidance to married and young married and older married couples. You know, once you get older, you know, and all of us are getting older. The great, late, great Eartha Kitt said on the movie Boomerang, she said, none of us are getting any younger. And that is so true, because when you look around, you're not 25 anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're not 30. You're not 35. You're in your 40s. And, you know, you didn't wait to get to be 40, 45, 50 years old to start acting like a damn fool. You know, you're supposed to have gotten all that foolishness and out of your system when you were younger, but now you're in your late 30s, late 40s, and now you're just starting to act like a damn fool. You know, we have to look at what we're doing. Are we acting like grown men and grown women act? Are we acting maturely? Are we following what the Holy Quran bids us to follow? You know, the Holy Quran, the religious book of scripture and guidance for the Muslim, says that in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day, there are surely signs for men of understanding. Every day follows the night, and every night follows the day. The earth is moving. It's changing. Every day we're in a different season, but that season is transitioning into another season. How on earth could you expect to be married to a woman or married to a man and they not be changing? Everything. A mighty change is taking place in every living creature. Everybody is changing, and we're changing for either the better or we're changing for the worse. There's no two ways. You ain't changing for the better and the worse. You're either changing one way or the other. Jesus said no man can serve two masters. He's either going to love one and hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon too. So we have to ask ourselves, am I changing in this marriage? Am I changing for the better? Am I growing more in love with my wife, or am I growing more in love with or growing more in hatred towards her, or vice versa? You understand? It's something happening. If we're not growing in love, we must be growing in hatred, because it's no such thing as you going to just stand there and be neutral on nothing in the marriage. We have to be constantly evolving, or we constantly devolving. And if you're not having no God in your life, if there's no prayer life, if there's no prayer walk, if there's no faith walk, if God is now devoid of your life, if your life has degenerated to the point where you don't even want to go to the mosque, you don't want to go to no church, you don't want to go nowhere, you just sit in your house and you're going to just play some doggone gospel music and fake it till you make it. See, you have to look at why are you acting like this? Why am I so anti against the way of God? Do I know the way of God? Do I want to live by his laws and his statutes? He puts you here on the planet. You're going to be mad at somebody? Get mad at God. God allowed you to come to the planet in this day and time. There's a reason for you being here, brother. There's a reason for you being here, sister. What is that reason? You may have stuff going on in your life that you don't understand, that you don't like, but change is absolutely necessary. Everything must change. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. And we have to learn to face our difficulties. We have to, you know, let go of things that don't mean anything. You know, we're arguing over parking spots. We're arguing over somebody cutting us off the road, risking our life for something that in 2 minutes won't even matter.
Right.
We have to mature. Mm-hmm. We have to grow up. We have to say to ourselves, man, is this what a 41-year-old man acts like? Am I acting for my younger brothers who are in their 20s? I have to be their role model whether I want to be or not. I have to model how a responsible man does this thing. I'm the one that they see. I can't say, well, let me show you Chicago. Let me show you what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. You know, I want to show them what he would do by them watching me. My life, I have to accept responsibility to build my own community. That's what the minister is trying to get us to understand. You can only change yourself. You can't change nobody else. I don't spend not 1 minute trying to change my wife. You didn't hear what I just said. I don't waste no time.
Mm-hmm, I did.
I'm telling you, there's
yes,
so
sir.
Many husbands that I meet, and when we talk to men in the men-only session, I tell husbands, give up that pipe dream of you're going to change your wife into somebody else or change into your mother. You didn't marry your mother. You married your wife. Our dilemma, Sister Gidget, is that we hate change and we love it at the same time. And what we want is for things to remain the same, but we want them to get better. And that will never happen. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not come representing a God who was going to allow things to remain the same but get better. That's the pipe dream that they have sold Negroes in America by giving us a black president. That things will, they're going to remain the same, but they're going to get better at the same time. We are driving. We don't realize it, but we have become our parents. We are now in the seat that they occupied when we were their children. Now we have the driver's seat, but we are asleep at the wheel.
Yes, sir.
We got to realize that we got the wheel in our hand, and we got to drive. We got to demonstrate to our children that I'm aware that I have the wheel now, and I'm going to drive this car responsibly. And I'm going to lead my family to a place, not to Negroville, not to the amusement park, although that's important in its own right. But I'm going to be mature. My wife and I will drive this together. Maturity is the ability to live in peace with that which you cannot change. There are things that you're not going to be able to change right now. We have to understand this word, change. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan said to us a few years ago, accept the challenge to change. And if you want to change, you got to start with your attitude. We have to change our attitude, our outlook on how we see things. Start with a change in behavior. Start with a change in the way you respond. You can't respond like a little child and expect people to respect you like a grown man. You can't expect your wife to respect you and you acting like a damn child. You can't expect your husband to respect you as the wife and you carrying on like you doggone 2 years old. How the hell can we have a relationship and we're too immature to sit down and have a conversation with each other? Who are we trying to impress? Who are we trying to get to hear what we're talking about? Are we still little children competing for attention from our own children now? We got to mature and grow up. And that's the message that we give to our brothers and sisters who attend the marriage retreat. You have to accept now that you are in a marriage. And, you know, it's funny. Sometimes for a man, he forget that he's even married. Most men, when they leave home and they start working, they forget, oh, my God, I'm married. I have children. I got three. I got four. I got five. I got six children. You know, you won't even believe how easy it is for a man to forget that. He can become so engrossed in his work that he forget. Because them children didn't come out of him. That's why he can forget very easily. Well, as I wrap up this point on change, you know, as I wrap up this point on change, I just want you to realize, I want all of us to realize, is that we might not have the ability to change anything too much. We may not have the ability to change our boss. We may not have the ability to change our student minister, our lieutenant, our captain, or some sister captain, or some sister lieutenant, or squad leader, whatever it is. We may not have the ability or the willpower to change our husband, but you and I, we certainly have the power to change our perception of these people and our lives. Life is 10% what happens to you. 90% of the power we still maintain. And that's how we're going to look at what has happened, what has went on in our lives. And that's why I say to you and my wife, we're saying to you tonight, that the greatest thing you could do for yourself to help you to grow up and mature is to get audited. It's to take advantage of the auditing that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan has put before the Nation of Islam. If you want to save your marriage, you need to get audited because you're sick and you're crazy. And the only thing that's going to help your behind get better is to sit your behind in a chair and let somebody audit you and take you through all of that bull that you have been through in your life because you keep reliving it and you dramatizing it over and over in front of your wife, in front of your children. You are creating hell for yourself in not just this life, but in the lives that your children will leave because they are going to re-dramatize what you did because you never had the courage to change yourself and to get yourself right. You've got to be strong. You can't be a coward in 2013. Just because you sell a lot of papers don't mean you're not a coward underneath all of that. Be a man, be a woman enough, be man and woman enough to get, be somebody, become an auditor and help people.
Okay, Brother Marcus, I want to give the listening audience an opportunity. So before Brother Marcus goes into the marriage retreat, I just want to remind the listening audience, there's a lot of you all on the phone, so if you have questions, press 1 on your dial pad. And I will take your question for those of you who are in the chat rooms. I see your questions, and I will ask some of them. Some of them I'm not going to ask, and I think y'all know who I'm talking about, so don't even go there. And we'll take your questions. But right now, as we wait on the questions to come up, Brother Marcus, tell us about 2014, the marriage retreat.
Okay. The 2014 marriage retreat, inshallah, God willing, is going to be held from September the 10th through September the 15th. That's you getting into Niagara Falls, New York. That's where we intend to have it by the grace of Almighty God, in Niagara Falls, New York. A lot of believers have always shared with us that they would love to go to Niagara Falls, and it's always been a great tourist attraction and destination for a lot of people. The scenery will be absolutely beautiful by the grace of Allah. Our hotel is sitting right there on the water. I mean, it's secured, of course, for those who are scary and spooktified. But we want you to know that Almighty God, Allah, is in charge, and you don't need to fear anything to come to be with us at the marriage retreat. We are going to help you to see the value of what you and your spouse are building. And you would be surprised how many couples don't even have a goal in front of them of what it is that they want by the end of next year. Don't have a goal in front of them of what they want 5 years from now. We have to be able to plan for our marriages. And that's what this marriage retreat is all about. It's not somebody firing on you and gritting on you and fronting you in front of your wife or your husband. We don't play that math. We want to show you the honor and the respect and the love that we believe the minister would be pleased with. Brother Akbar, the international representative, student representative of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, he joined us at the last year's retreat, the 2013 fourth annual retreat that we just finished with a few months ago in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And Brother Akbar said that he was speaking to the minister before he came, telling them about the retreat, and he said the ministers told him, well, brother, you go and help them out. And Brother Akbar said to us that he originally thought that he was just going to come for a day or so, and then he was going to get on a plane and go to his next city. But Brother Akbar found something that he wasn't expecting at this marriage retreat. And he said to us that after 4 days of being there with us in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, he had never experienced anything like what he saw in 53 years of being in the Nation of Islam. He said he came, he saw, he listened, and he learned, because what he saw was couples working on their marriages. Nobody was holding poles. Nobody was, you know, on a rooftop somewhere. Nobody was patrolling the mountains. The mountains were just fine doing what they do, being mountains. This was an opportunity for every man, every woman to sit with their spouse and go through this 50-page workbook in various stages of the 4 or 5 days that we were together. And we didn't get to all of it, because we do a combination of things. Some of it is sitting down. Some of it is written. Some of it is dialogue between you and your wife. Some of it is indoor. Some of it is outdoor. You're moving around. You're not stagnant. A lot of it is you and your wife spending time together. And what this will be at the fifth annual retreat, this is going to be opportunity for you to travel with your wife to Niagara Falls. You're probably going to want to fly in to Niagara Falls, fly into Buffalo. I think that's the closest airport. And you're going to need your passport, because I don't know if you know this, Canada is 3 to 6 minutes away from where we're going to be. And I don't know about you, but I've never been to Canada. So I'm anxious. I'm excited about the potential of traveling over into Canada. See, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan shared with us during Savior's Day, I think it was 1997, he said that the Messiah is a traveling man, you know, and we who come to be with him, to walk with him, you got to travel. You got to be able to get up from where you live and travel and go. All wise men and women are travelers. You have to get up and leave your environment. You got to leave the bills. You got to leave the stresses of what you're dealing with behind and go and be with believing brothers and sisters. You know, people, we have Christian brothers and sisters that will be with us. We have other members of other faiths that will be with us, but none of them will be disrespected in the least because we have the character. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan is forming Christ in us so that we can stand someone being from another faith tradition and not be intimidated and not get all bent out of shape because he has taught us so well. And we have to begin to demonstrate our love and gratitude for the minister, not by just standing up and applauding him and saying Allahu Akbar 5, 6, 7 times, but we got to be able to show the world that we have been taught by a mighty brother, a savior for our people, and that brother is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and his teaching civilizes us, even as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that Islam dignifies us, and we will be together getting in on that Wednesday. Our actual program starts on that Thursday, and we hasten to tell you, beloved brothers and sisters, that this year, coming up, inshallah, 2014, we will have, inshallah, Brother Akbar back. He will be with us. We also intend to bring that great brother who graced us with his presence on our show yesterday, Sunday evening. Brother Abdul Hafiz Muhammad will be with us. He's going to be talking on blended families, and it's going to be very deep and very powerful. So everybody who's listening who have issues around blended families, you should come because we have a brother that is well capable of helping you to deal with the real issues. And if you have questions, they're not going to run away from your questions. Ask them openly in public. And then we're going to also be bringing in, inshallah, the great, beloved brother Tony Muhammad from the West Coast. And he is so super excited and psyched about coming to this retreat. We had dinner. If you come, I tell you, you and your family, your wife, you and your husband, you will not be the same. The communication piece that he has as a brother that's very dedicated to the study of Dianetics and what the minister is desirous for us to understand and to learn from L. Ron Hubbard. He is going to be sharing more of that with us, especially around communicating one with another in the marriage. And I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, you do not want to miss that piece. It will be explosive. That's all I can tell you. You're gonna really regret if you don't come this year to the event. And then he's also going to be delivering something to the brothers. You know, sister, we have special men-only sessions, and we have special women-only sessions. And for the men-only sessions, Brother Tony has told me already that he's going to be talking on the topic of, how did he say, 7 days of sacrifice for 21 days of heaven. See, so he's talking to the brothers about how to care for your wife. She's going through her menstrual cycle. And I think we probably have never heard that outside of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And I think that we would learn a lot from a brother who's shown and demonstrated a sincere desire to help the minister. And I just love him. I love Brother Hafiz. I love Brother my other brother from Memphis, Tennessee. That's Brother Anthony and his wife, Sister Jill. They're going to be coming up to shore us up on the other end of the retreat, and they're going to be doing some workshops around. They're going to do some manhood, womanhood development with us. See, we got people in the nation who are specialists in teaching and training men and women how to stay together. And we want you to know that, brother and sister, just because you all are having problems in your marriage don't mean you need to throw in the towel. It means you need more knowledge. More skills. We need skills. We can't keep putting people together and they have no skills. You know, one of the things I want to say to the young brothers and sisters as a segue is we always say this. If the only tool you have in your toolbox is a hammer, then everything starts to look like a nail in the marriage. Because all we know how to do is to beat the hell out of each other. Because everything looks like a nail. But if you had some other tools in the toolbox, some other skills that you can employ. See, being with a woman is more about skill, brother. in your mind, you got to be able to understand what's being said. You got to understand how to respond, how to not respond. How do you acknowledge that something has been said? You ain't got to argue every step of the way, but a lot of times we argue because that's all we've seen our parents do. We argue, fuss, and fight. We criticize, we condemn, we complain, because these are the tools that we learned from our parents and what we saw them do when they disagreed and had a fuss over this or that. So this retreat is really about skill building. It's about brotherhood. It's about sisterhood. It's about love and the oh, my God, the love that you feel from your brothers and sisters is just so apparent. Some of these brothers and sisters on this phone have been with us for the last 4 years we've been doing it. They come to every retreat. They add their voices. They go through the exercises with us. Now they're leading the exercises because they know where this is about to go. And if you want to see what we do, you need to go to our website at www.blackmarriageretreat.org. That's www.blackmarriageretreat.org. And you just need to click on the videos that we have there on the front, the very first page. Our sister coordinator is Sister Deborah 2X Washington, and Sister Deborah is the originator of this marriage retreat. She is a sister that is incredible. We couldn't imagine doing this without her guidance, because she is able to put together these fantastic conferences, and she chooses spots and locations that you ordinarily may not go unless, you know, I know I wouldn't have been to the Bahamas or doing no marriage retreat if it wasn't for Sister Deborah. We wouldn't have been to Ochos Rios and Grand Cayman Islands. We've had retreats to Grand Cayman Islands and Ochos Rios, Sister. I mean, think of that. You know, we've been to Pigeon Forge twice. Now she has us going to Niagara Falls. I mean, the sister got skills, and she's our sister out of Memphis, and she is on fire. And I thank Allah for her and for what she does and the vision that she has. So that's just a small picture of what we're doing. And, of course, Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia, inshallah, will be there with you all to put all of this stuff together so that we can all be together and show the minister. You know, Sister, the one of the real joys that I found from doing these things is we get to actually show the minister that we're growing up. Because if we need the minister to come to be present at everything in order for us to come to it, then we are really missing a significant part of his teaching. And that's to accept responsibility and let's go on down this road together. The minister is always present with us because his spirit is among us. If his spirit is in the two that's in front of you, then he's there. The same thing that he would give is what we're trying to give. We're trying to serve. And when we put Brother Hafiz, Brother Tony, we put Brother Anthony, we put all of these sisters, these great wives of the student ministers together before us to teach and to talk, and Brother Akbar, and we put all that in front of you, if you say that that's not the minister, then you stay where you at, brother, because we don't need nobody coming who can't see that the minister is trying to sit behind a closed door, and he wants to know that we can organize on the truth that he has taught us to get us to work on our marriages if that's what we need to do. And that's what we're trying to do. And we've tried to get the price as low as possible. Sister Deborah, again, did a wonderful job putting all of this together. The package information is there on the website. We expect to have at least 100 couples to join us from all over the United States of America, and it's going to be fantastic. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to take advantage. The main thing is you got to help us by making that deposit, because we need your deposits in order to secure the spot that we're trying to be in. And you know everything is real. It takes money to do what we're trying to do. So register for the conference. That will help us. if you register to secure your spot. Don't try to wait till the last minute. It's a significant chunk of money for black folks. So don't try to do it all in one big lump sum unless you got it like that, you know. But I would pay it off and do what I need to do so that I could be there at the fifth annual marriage retreat. I'm sorry it took a little long sharing that, sister.
That's okay, Brother Marcus. That's okay. And we're going to go to the listening audience now. Now, for those of you who are on the phone, you have questions, please press 1 on your dial pad. But we have some serious issues going on in the chat room tonight, Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia. And the one I want to talk about first is this brother who says he's not in the nation. He only gives his initials, M.B. He says that he hit his wife and that he can never seem to make up for it and that he has been out of the house for 7 months now and there's no forgiveness in her. So any advice for Brother MB?
All right. So say you will attack it first and then I'll deal with it on the back end.
You say he hit his wife?
He said he hit his wife. He's been out of the house for 7 months. He said he doesn't see any forgiveness in her.
Was that his first time hitting her, or has it been a repeat act?
Let me ask him. Hold on. Oh, he heard you. First time I ever hit anyone.
Okay. Then I would, the first recommendation that I would give for the brother is to, while he's away from his wife, to go get some auditing done to find out where it's coming from. What is the root reason why he had the need to raise his hand to his wife? Because the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, again, gave us auditing because he knows that we are crazy, that we have behaviors that are not behaviors that God would be pleased with. Domestic violence is very serious, very life-threatening, and any woman who's been hit by a man, I mean, that's going to be her first reaction is to put him out because she does not want to live under that type of fear, that type of oppression. So for the brother, I would definitely recommend to try if she's willing to talk to you and say, well, honey, these are the actions that I'm willing to take to change this behavior and start getting into auditing sessions as soon as he can so that that behavior does not happen again. But if he does not desire to get it audited out, then she has to make some serious decisions about forgiving him if she's going to forgive him. But the first thing is to get some auditing done.
All right.
Okay, yes, and ma'am. And I don't know where he can go to get audited since he's not in the nation. But check with your Church of Scientology, I guess, and see if they can offer you any services in that area, brother. That's my suggestion. Because he said he's not in the nation.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, Brother Marcus, any advice?
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much more than that, you know. I would also recommend that, you know, we just, you know, we deal with so many different situations. We do a lot of counseling throughout the country for brothers and sisters, and we have a lot of diverse situations, and domestic violence is in almost all of them nowadays. Either it's the wife beating the husband or the husband beating on the wife, you know, because we have some sisters that are violent too, you know, and we have to ask and say these things. Sisters, you can't be a provoker of the brothers. You can't, you know, do as my mother used to say, she used to have this expression, you can't do your dirt and hide your hands. You know, you can't lead a man and get him all riled up and crazy acting and then run and be innocent and I ain't do nothing. And you can't do those things because you're dealing with a black man that's crazy. We're dealing with a black woman that's crazy. And so we don't want to push each other's buttons. and get a person all ready to just destroy something and then, you know, jump back and be Miss Innocent, be Mr. Innocent. We, again, if you think about what we've been saying this whole conversation, maturity, rational behavior, thinking before doing, acting like you have some sense, acting like you have somebody that you respect enough to follow what they're saying. Sure, you're not no Muslim. At least it's what you've been taught, or you at least you think that way. But, you know, we're taught that all of us are Muslim by nature. So we don't, you know, accept that you're not a Muslim. We would treat you like a Muslim, you know, as far as us in the nation, you know. But, brother, I grew up, I hate domestic violence. I grew up in a house where I witnessed my father beating the snot out my mother. So I know what domestic violence looks like, and it's a horrible thing. And at first, when I was young, I could never forgive my father for what I saw. And my mother, to this day, 20 years after, 30 years after the violence has stopped, she still, in 2013, is affected by what happened to her yesterday. It creates all kind of hell for the woman when we're jumping on her, beating on her. And I don't know what your reasons are, brother. Maybe you are sorry to your soul that you ever did that. But, brother, that's the price you got to pay. And whether she forgives you or not, you have to forgive yourself. You have to go to your God, and you have to ask him to forgive you for laying hands on that woman. And you have to get forgiveness in your life and have to know that Allah, God, will forgive you. And then, you know, if she doesn't ever forgive you, then, you know, you have to just, at a certain point, you have to say, well, that won't never happen again. We have a saying in the nation that mistakes will not exist among the laborers. You know, you're going to make mistakes. But the point is, don't let it happen again. If you know you made a mistake, don't let it happen again. Don't let a woman push you to the point where she got you smacking her upside her head, punching her in her mouth. She's not like we are. She's not built like we are. She can't take that. You know, Brother Rahman, Abdul Rahman, shared something with me that was so powerful. He said to me from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would get into disagreements and whatnot with Mother Clara Muhammad, and she felt some type of way about this, and he felt another way about it. And when she would get to arguing at him, he would go and get in his car, and he would ride and go wherever he went. An hour, two, three later, he would show back up. If she was still arguing, he would get back in the car, and he would go, and he would stay gone until she stopped. And when he came in and she wasn't arguing no more, then guess what? He would stay. See, you don't have to beat a woman. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, if you have to beat a woman, you don't need a woman. You don't need no woman you got to beat. I don't need no woman that I got to put my hands on. And, sister, you got to know if a man says shut up, that means shut up. You ain't got to say another damn word. Shut up for that moment. Let him get his mind right. Be quiet. But you got to get the last word. You got to say your last little 2 cents. And that's what get a man going, and then he gets so far gone that he can't call himself back. You got to learn to stop doing that, dear sisters. You got to learn when a man is to the point where he got that look in his eye of crazy, respect crazy. Don't push him over the edge. You don't want the police coming. You see how the police respond. They don't need a reason to kill no black man. And they can come to the house, and they, you know, it'll be the simplest situation, but your husband will end up dead in the alley. 4 bullets in his head, in his skull, in his heart, because the police, they trigger happy. Be calm, rational. I'm not putting this on my dear sisters. I'm trying to say to you, sisters, that when you see that you're in a volatile situation, you have to use wisdom. You have to use skill. Is this really the best time? If you see he's already there, he's already on edge, don't push him over the edge. That brother sing that song, he said, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. You don't know nothing about that, but I'm just trying to stay.
Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to say that if it was like that in 1981 when that song came out, well, what the black man feeling in 2013? 30 years after that, what is he feeling? What kind of stress is the black man under? Man, there are days that I could straight tell I have that kind of anger going on in me some days. I'm angry as hell most of the time. And my wife knows this Negro is crazy. So she learned how to leave me alone, let me calm my behind down. You got to be careful when you dealing with a black man that's got high explosives going on in his heart and in his mind. We are powder kegs in the black community. That's not just the man, that's the woman too, brother. You can't be no nuisance to no black woman in 2013. Because these sisters is on edge just like we are. And just check it out. Check out World Star. These fools is fighting like cats and dogs. They're fighting in the damn Denny's, fighting in the doggone IHOP. They're fighting in the movie theaters, fighting everywhere. This is exactly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us was coming. They'll be fighting on the West Coast, fighting in the East Coast, fighting all over America, black against white, white against black, white against brown, brown against black. This is what we're seeing in 2013. We better wake up and learn how to handle each other with wisdom and skill. You don't have to put your hands on nobody. If they saying something that you don't agree with, just chalk it up that they don't see it the way you see it. Who says that everybody got to see you the way you see yourself? Who says that your wife can't disagree with you, brother? Who says that your wife is automatically wrong when she got an opinion that's different than yours? Who the hell told you you was right every damn time you spoke and opened your mouth? When did that become the law of the Quran? Allah is the best knower. We get carried away with ourselves real quick, and we act like we don't have much sense at all. You better calm yourself down and be a little bit more rational. Gotta calm down. Man, why am I so hyped up? Why am I so ready to kick a woman, beat a woman? Would that make me more of a man? What am I doing? Why would I want to put my hands on a woman? Just walk away, brother. Walk away. Calm down. Do something different. You don't need to beat on no woman. I'm sorry. You don't need to do that. None of us as men need to do that. We don't need to beat our women with our hands and fists, and we don't need to beat them any longer with our mouths. And verbal abuse is 16 times more powerful than physical abuse. And the effects of a verbal beating is why we have Dianetics auditing to help you undo some of the weight, the pain that you carry from the beatings that somebody gave you with their mouth when you were a little boy, a little girl. And if you go back on the time track, you'd be surprised where your pain is coming from in your life. Mm-hmm. It's not that woman you beating. You really probably beating some bully who just kept taunting you, who kept telling you what you couldn't do, or you know, it's all jumbled up and crazy. Maybe you got a group of engram going on. Maybe it's a combination of people that you still have unresolved conflict with and beef with, and they said your wife is just re-stimulating you every time she speaks to you because she don't know how to talk to a god. She only know how to talk to a mere man, a mere mortal. So, sister, what was that? Another question?
Well, yeah, that was the question from Brother Tony, but we're going to, that was from the chat room, so we're going to go to the phone lines. And area code 314, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Brother Gene calling from St. Louis.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Gene. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm just great, Allah, great. But I just wanted to thank Brother Marcus for all the work that he is doing. And I just pray to I feel so privileged to be, you know, listening and actually in training and being taught on, you know, preparedness before courtship and marriage. And I just feel so blessed to be able to be in training and learn before, you know, going into that step. And I just pray to Allah that someday, Brother Mark, you can travel the country and just deliver, you know, what you've been blessed to do and just teach and keep on teaching and save many black marriages throughout this country and the world, brother. And I just want to thank Allah for you.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, my brother. We can't wait to come to St. Louis, but we have to be invited first.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, thank you, Brother Gene, for calling in tonight.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Okay, we're going to take another question out of the chat room. This question is, oh, wow, we have a lot of domestic violence going on. This question is from Sister Kelly. She says that she feels that her husband has violent tendencies. He seems to shake and scream and yell for no reason at all. Well, I think you're going to get the same advice that Brother Marcus just gave the other brother, that he needs some auditing. And I don't know if you are in the nation, Sister Kelly, but I'm pretty sure Brother Marcus is going to advise some auditing, but I'll just let Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia address your fear. So,
Yes, ma'am. The basically, like I said, if you're dealing with that kind of rage, that kind of anger, that kind of temperament, I like to say that is requiring emergency auditing. And emergency auditing is at least a minimum of 4 hours of auditing, where at least every 3 to 4 days you're sitting down in a chair with your auditor on a regular basis, where at least once a week you have an appointment to sit down and really get that out, because he is dramatizing. He is acting out from his past. I mean, when you look at how deep it goes with our behaviors and our actions, you just have to get on your prayer rug and thank Allah for the minister bringing this tool to us to help us get rid of these negative engrams that is due to what people have done to us. So that is, sister, if that is what he's dealing with, he has to sit down in the auditor's chair. We cannot be fearful. We cannot be apprehensive. We have to do what is best for our marriages and best for yourself.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And no one should have to live in fear. And, you know, Sister Cecilia and Brother Marcus, a lot of times what I deal with in the nation and outside of the nation, when it comes to finances, you know, people have different situations. And I've had sisters who stayed in vital situations because, you know, they don't have the resources to relocate, or their husband is the breadwinner or whatever, and they worried about the financial situations, you know, the care of their children and things of that nature. And I just want to tell Sister Kelly that, you know, I don't know why you are remaining, but if it's for that reason or any other reason that you're justifying your staying with him, I'm telling you, sister, if you're waiting on the axe to fall, you are playing Russian roulette with your life, and if you have children, with the lives of your children, because you never know what the impact may be on them. And so you need to, in my opinion, remove yourself from that situation and make it clear to your spouse that it is not an option, that he needs to get some help, because you are living in fear. And I don't care what nobody says. If you're living in fear, you're not happy. And if you're sitting up here waiting on it to get better, it's going to get better one day or whatever, and one day you can also wake up dead, if there is such a thing as waking up dead. So that is not anything to play with. You know, I know, you know, Sister Celia say pray about it. You can pray for your husband. You can just pray for him outside about it. But do not risk yourself, risk the lives of your children, because when people are enraged, I tell you, they have a tendency to hold back. But at some point, it's like a powder cake. It's going to explode. It might not explode with you, but then 9 times out of 10, that's where it's going to happen. It's going to happen within the household. And it is not worth you exposing your children or even yourself to this type of madness. He needs help. And as long as you are in denial of that, if you think you can fix it, and evidently not because you're asking us, sister, remove yourself from that situation. Even if you have to go anonymously and just tell him, look, these are the terms and conditions. You need to get some help. And once you see that he's getting help, and once you're able to sit down with him in a public place or either in front of a mediator or whatever, until you're able to recognize and see the change and let him express what is going on with him and how he's gotten better, how he's going to get past it or whatever, I would remove myself from that situation, because we have so many people who have lost their lives to domestic violence. And I usually don't share personal stories, but I tell you, I have a sister. I have two sisters. They're twins, and I'm not going to call their names, but my sisters are what they call very fair-skinned. They can almost pass for white. We have two different mothers. But one of the twins, Brother Marcus and Sister Celia, she is like, let's just say, Mother Tynetta's skin color, but her face, it's blacker than 14 midnight, and that is because her husband has so damaged the capillary veins in her face from the years and years of abuse that her face is actually dead, and there's no oxygen there. And my sister, for the last 15 years, has been going to a specialist who is a dermatologist that actually places needles up under her face to keep her face alive. Those needles contain oxygen because her face is dead. All of the veins, all of the capillary veins, everything is dead in her face because of the extensive damage of abuse. And she is legally blind. And she has had 3 miscarriages due to abuse. Now, that's a little dramatic, but I'm sharing it with you about my sister because I don't want anyone to go through that. And Brenda and Linda are opposite in their approach to this situation. And due to that situation, they are twin sisters. And they have always been inseparable, but they have not said one word to one another in 21 years because one twin refused to leave her husband. And the other twin said that if you don't leave this man, I am going to leave you alone. And that's been 21 years ago, and they have not spoken. But my sister is still with her husband. She is legally blind, and his trifling behind, ooh, I almost said something. He buys her a brand new car every 2 years for my niece to drive her around because my sister's legally blind. She can't see. And he actually thinks that that is compensation for the damage that he's done to her. He buys her trinkets and gifts that she really can't enjoy because she really can't even see him. So when I tell you it can get bad, it can get bad. So my suggestion to you is to remove yourself from that situation until you see a better day. And if you never see a better day, then it's best to be able to walk away than to end up being carried away. And that's my advice to you, Sister Kelly. Okay, we got another question out of the chat room. Sister Lydia says she wants to know, what do you do about children and faith, that she became a Muslim in 2008 and her husband is Muslim. She said, but her children still subscribe to Christianity because prior to her marriage, that's how they were raised, but they won't convert over. So any advice, Sister Cecilia and Brother Marcus?
How old are her children?
Okay, hold on. 15, 9, and 7.
And she and her husband have become Muslims, and now they're trying to basically have the whole household to practice Islam, of course.
Yes.
It also depends on how long that she has been in the nation as well, because, like I say, you're the parents in that household. The children are going to do what the parents say do. Especially when you're dealing with a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, but then I'd ask the question that comes up is it a blended family? Because if the husband or the wife of the children in the relationship, if there's another spouse involved in that relationship, then that's definitely going to be an interesting balance and struggle because you have someone else interfering with you striving to have your household to be practice Islam. But if that's not the situation, then yes, those children will be taken to the mosque. When I go to the mosque, they don't know. Like I said, you're the parent. That those ages, they do what the parents say do, and it's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, especially, again, if they're not used to that. And the 15-year-old, you know, we have six children, 20, 19, 16, 14, 12, and 10. He just turned 10. And there's no way no child in my house tells me, well, I'm not going to the mosque today. If we're going to the mosque, you're going to the mosque. That's where you're going. You have no choice in the matter. Now, when you get 16 and 17, then you have to make the choice if you're going to accept Islam for yourself. But if I'm the parent in this household and I don't have to deal with the excess of other people involved in my affairs with my children, where I don't have to talk to an ex-husband or an ex-boyfriend or so forth and so on, then, yes, you make the decisions for them children and get them acclimated in the process of your Islam, and it's going to be a process because, again, you're respecting that, yes, they're little people, but at the same time, you want to do what your parents say do, and that's all it is to it. Now, you can get, like, again, when you get older, you can make that decision, but as a little child, 7 and 9, oh, you going to do what I say do.
I'm so agreeing with you, Sister. I mean, how can I put this? Sister Lydia, you know, how can I put this delicately? You know, Allah does not compel us to believe. But as a mother, you have to train the child in the way you desire for your child to go. And I don't recall. My children are 32 and my twins, my son's 32 and my twins are 28. And I'm I'm sorry, you know, I'm still mother, and I'm still obeyed. Out of respect, you don't compromise with children of that age. And, I mean, I don't know if it's something that happened or maybe you're part of the Christian upbringing. I mean, I don't know. But children of that age are just that, they're children. And you have to set the parameters of discipline in your household, and there is no compromise with children of that age. Because if you compromise with them now, as they get older, there's not going to be any way that you can compromise with them. You have to be the parent always. And I just don't know what else to say to you, beloved. I mean, and your husband, I don't know what kind of relationship it is, but even if he's assuming the role as a parent to your children, then it has to be something that the two of you come together and sit down and talk about how you're going to break it to your children that there are some choices they just don't have. And so, Brother Marcus, I'm going to ask you, because this is a blended family, I understand. And, okay, she said she used to take them to church. And since she become a Muslim, she doesn't go to church anymore, and they don't like the mosque. And so, Brother Marcus, I'm going to ask you, as a man going into a blended family as such, there might be some reluctance to discipline the children because they're not biologically his. Hold on. Okay, she says their father, their biological father, does not see them. Okay, so Brother Marcus, let us hear from you on that.
Okay. Well, all praise is due to Allah, sister. You know, with blended families, you have to be very, very mindful of the transition that children go through. And yes, I'm all for discipline, but you have to see things from the eyes of a child. You know, why do they find the mosque boring? You know, is it in fact boring? I mean, you remember when you were a little child and you went to a church and somebody made you sit for 2 hours, and sometimes our mosque meetings can go for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, you know. What are your expectations? You know, what is it that the children are rejecting about the mosque meeting? Are they involved? Is there junior MGT class that they could take advantage of? Our children go to the mosque and they go to serve, and they all of mine are servants, you know, because I don't let my children get the thought in their mind that they're going to come here and just sit back and wait to be served, because that's not my attitude. That's not my wife's attitude. All of us go, and every single one has to find something that they can do to become involved and active at the mosque. And it's been that way ever since we, you know, read them. We read them in the mosque to help. You know, so ours don't ever come to sit and be bored, because they're going to be involved with something. On the door, my son is going to be out there with the paper. Another one is doing an AV. Another, the daughters is doing a secretarial thing and helping out with the cooking. And then the wife, she's doing the MPT table, and I'm helping out in the student ministry. See, so it's all about what you're doing. Maybe you're boring. Maybe you're not involved in anything. Maybe you come to sit and listen. And, you know, I'm just saying, we have to become active. You are alive. Don't ever give your children the thought that you are not the leader. The leader determines the pace of the team. If you're the leader and they're bored, then you're boring, because you ain't create enough for them to do. So you get busy and become active, and you get them like ducks behind you doing what you do, becoming active, doing whatever you can to get them involved. Children are young. They got energy there. They want excitement. They want to be involved. They want to do something. Don't let them come and just, you know, do nothing. Yeah, that would be boring anybody. So, you know, get busy, get active, show them that you're alive. But, you know, a lot of us as adults, we're slow moving and expect our children to be fast moving and quick thinking. We got to get our act together, especially if we have children who are watching us. In our home, we are moving constantly. Our children consider it a luxury if they're home and there's nothing to do, because it's never anything. There's never nothing to do. It's always something to do. It's always someplace to go. We don't have no time to be sitting in front of the TV watching sitcom. They catch as catch can. They see their little favorite sitcom whenever they can get to it. But as far as having a set time and we're going to always be here at this time to watch this program, and, you know, we can't be dull. If you in front of your children, you have to set the pace. You don't have to do a whole lot of butt whipping if you are more constructive in how you plan for their success. How can they show forth their God power, their talent? Are they in the student ministry? Can they recite actual facts, student enrollment? What can they do to show that they're alive? You have to get them involved. You know, and if there's nobody doing it, and then a lot of our mosques and study groups and churches, ain't nobody doing it, then you do it. You alive, ain't you?
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother Marcus, we're out of time, so one more time, give us some information about the marriage retreat before we go for tonight.
All praise is due to Allah. Certainly, sister, I just want you all to know how much we enjoy being a part of your program tonight. The website is www.blackmarriageretreat.org. That's, again, www.blackmarriageretreat.org. For more information on the marriage retreat that we do, we're in the fifth annual marriage retreat. We also would like to promote Muhammad's economic blueprint that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is asking all of us to become involved with. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan is stating to us from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that everyone can give 35 cents a week as an investment in their future, and it would be painless. We can all donate now online. Go to www.economicblueprint.org. That's www.economicblueprint.org to take advantage of this economic blueprint by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Sister Gidget, you are a beautiful queen, and we love you and honor you, and we are just so thankful for your the opportunity that you informed and gave us. You afforded us a powerful chance to help somebody. We hope that we were not offensive to anybody. We just speak straight truth. We're not trying to sugarcoat it. We're not trying to give you no beautiful, buttery, slippery slope type of interpretation. We try to come at you straight so that you will never say to God that Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia tried to deceive me and they tried to trick me with highfalutin language. We try to be very simple, plain teachers. And we encourage you to come and visit with us on our show. We have our show every Sunday by Allah's grace around marriage and relationships. This Sunday, we're going to have another exciting national figure to address us on our marriage program. You can check us out on Facebook. I'm a Brother Marcus Peace on Facebook. My wife is Sister Cecilia Muhammad, Cecilia A. Muhammad on Facebook. And we just, again, thank you for allowing us the privilege to be in your space and to talk to your heart and your mind tonight. May Allah bless you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia, and thank you so much for bringing us such a powerful show and a very informative show. And, of course, I want to encourage all of those married couples to join them this year on the marriage retreat. And I just hate I'm not married because I can't go, but I don't know. I might just show up and sit in the corner somewhere. You just never know. But I really appreciate the work, Brother Marcus, that you and Sister Cecilia are doing in helping healing our nation. And before we go, I want to holler at my cousin, Bun Slay. And I see you out there, Milton. So thank you all for listening, those of you who so graciously joined us in the chat room. I'm sorry I didn't get to all your questions. all you quiet people on the phone. You didn't have any questions tonight, but that's okay. I'm pretty sure that Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia were very informative and probably answered most of your questions. So thank you all for joining us. And may Allah continue to bless us with the light of understanding. I leave you as I came before you, and I greet you words of peace. As-salamu alaykum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.